Okay, this is Saturday night, 7 o'clock, and actually it's 8 o'clock. But if you have your Bibles, we're going to go to John chapter 7. And he made sure that I would pull out the Amplified. The first verse I want you to read is John chapter 7, verse 37. Because I will back it up, but I want you to see that verse first. It says, "Now on the final and most important day of the feast, Jesus stood forth and he cried out in a loud voice, 'If any man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink.'" That was the prophetic word that he was actually calling himself a river. Okay? And so you need to remember that your relationship is with him first. Church is a gift, but he's the most important gift in the church. If it wasn't for Jesus, the church wouldn't be. It would have no existence. Amen?
Amen.
Now, the other verse that I want you to look at is verse 14. We are right now at the halfway point of the feast. Verse 14 says, "When the feast was already half over, Jesus went up into the temple courts and began to teach." Isn't that odd that Jesus would show up halfway through the feast? Why didn't he show up at the beginning? Why wouldn't he be a part of everybody else celebrating the feast? Because in that day, 2,000 years ago, the feast was being celebrated. It wasn't a dishonor like many people today. If you talk to them about the Feast of Tabernacles, it's like you're speaking a foreign language. You're not doing anything different than what Jesus did, and he said to follow in his steps. That's why when we started to celebrate the feast, that we were, let's say, ridiculed, laughed at, sometimes insulted, and maybe those of you who didn't know, I can say that there was a lot of rejection. So now let's go to verse 1. "After this, Jesus went from place to place in Galilee, for he would not travel in Judea because the Jews sought to kill him. Now the Jewish Feast of Tabernacles was drawing near, and his brothers said to him, 'Leave here and go into Judea, so that your disciples there may also see the works that you do. This is a no place for you, for no one does anything in secret when he wishes to be conspicuous and secure publicity.'" Does that sound like a compliment to you?
I don't think so.
No. That's an insult.
Yeah.
Okay? So now you know that he faced family ridicule. How many of you have ever faced family ridicule? And insults? "You're stupid. You're taking time out on a Saturday night to go to church. You're nuts." I'm being honest, I've heard those words. "If you must do these things, if you must act like this, show yourself openly and make yourself known to the world." Watch verse 5 because it's very important. "For his brothers did not believe in him or adhere to or trust in or rely on him either. Whereupon Jesus said to them, 'My time or opportunity has not come yet, but any time is suitable for you. And your opportunity is ready at any time and is always here. The world cannot be expected to hate you.'" The next part says what?
"But it does hate
me. Because I denounce it for its wicked works and reveal that its doings are evil. Go to the feast yourselves. I am not yet going up to the festival, because my time is not ripe. My term is not yet completed. It is not time for me to do so or to go. Having said these things to them, he stayed behind in Galilee. So you understand the pressure that he was under? Is it similar to your situation? If it is, you know it's common to the feast. Those who obey are going to get some pressure. You need to remember that and not blame them. They're just doing what comes naturally. But afterwards, when his brothers had gone up to the feast, he went up also, not publicly, not with a caravan, which is a group, but by himself quietly, as if he did not wish to be observed. Therefore, the Jews kept looking for him at the feast and asking, "Where can he be? Where is that fellow?" And there was among the mass of the people much whispered discussion and hot disputing. I like the hot disputing part. About him. Some were saying he is good, and he is a good man. Others said no, he misleads and deceives the people, gives them false ideas. But no one dared to speak out boldly about him for fear of the leaders of the Jews. When the feast was already half over, Jesus went up into the temple courts and began to teach. The Jews were astonished. They said, "How is it that this man has learning, is so versed in the sacred scriptures and in theology?" And the next part is important. "When he has never studied." So the Jews of that day looked at Jesus as an outsider with no education, and he didn't have his college degree that they wanted to give him. Because if they would have taught him, he would not have been teaching what he was teaching. So think about that when you look at what Jesus was saying. Verse 16, Jesus answered them by saying, "My teaching is not my own, but his who sent me." Who sent him?
Father.
The Father and the Holy Spirit. Amen? If any man desires to do the Father's will or God's pleasure, he will know, have the needed illumination to recognize, can tell for himself whether the teaching is from God or whether I am speaking for myself and of my own accord or on my own authority. Now, I want you to just stop there. Keep your finger there for a moment. The woman that you had for the past six sessions teaching you did not graduate with all kinds of degrees. She listens to the Father and the Holy Spirit. I have been in seminars, in all kinds of teaching sessions, in religious organization and churchianity. But I can tell you, this woman was obedient to the Father by the Holy Spirit. She carried on from the Lord a message tailor-made for us. Not studied in her head, but obedience every step of the way, carried the ball that we needed so that we could carry our ball to the finish line when she's gone. She did not teach on her own authority. She taught from the Word. That's the value. And those who cannot handle the Word had a problem, because she did not deviate from the Word.
Right.
Verse 18. "He who speaks on his own authority seeks to win honor for himself. He whose teaching originates with himself seeks his own glory. But he who seeks the glory and is eager for the honor of him who sent him, he is true, and there is no unrighteousness or falsehood or deception in him. You experienced that in the past few days. There was no deception in what Sue had to teach. I remember her comment, I believe it was this morning, when she talked about her husband, because I prayed for her husband, not knowing that he's the type of person with the challenge, doesn't like driving. And I mean, it bubbled out of my mouth. I didn't have a preparation. I was just praying whatever the Holy Spirit pushed out of my mouth. And she put it on the record that now she was exposing his weakness, which right away she wanted to correct it, but it was so cool. Because again, you know, she doesn't want to hurt him. And it's kind of bubbled out. And so she wasn't trying to bring glory to anyone else. She was just really being very cautious and compassionate to the man that she loves. I could go on and on, but I'm going to give you just a couple more verses, because I sense that I'd like you to have some time to rest tonight. Verse 26, and here he is speaking openly, and they say nothing to him. Can it be possible that the rulers have discovered and know that this is truly the Christ or the Anointed One? So that tells you some of the people were aware. Some of the people were seeing through the cloud. And they were able to say, maybe the leaders are able to see this time. So, 29, I know him myself because I come from his very presence. Jesus is making himself known because he's spending time with the Father. And it was he personally who sent me. So now you've got a clear picture of Jesus being sent by the Father to do a work that was commissioned for him. I can say that I know I was sent into this realm with a lot of, you know, upside down circumstances, situations that didn't make any sense at the time. Now they make sense because I'm old enough to know. But when we're young, we think there's a mistake somewhere. We think maybe we missed the boat, or we're born in the wrong family, or we've got the wrong parents, or we've got this and that. It's not all about us. It is about the commission that he sent you into this realm for his purpose. So can you close your eyes right now and repeat after me? Say, my Heavenly Father knows me.
My Heavenly Father knows me.
He's the one that sent me into this realm.
And I'm in the earth
to reveal the love of God
for the broken
and those that are wondering, why are they on earth? I might have the answer to rebuild their hearts, and I will intercede if the Father sets me for that purpose. It's not all about me. It's a lot about how much God loves the earth and the people in it. Amen? Verse 37. Now on the final and most important day of the feast, Jesus stood forth, and he cried out in a loud voice, if any man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He didn't say go to the church. He didn't say go to a pew. He said go to me. So what my heart says tonight is that you take this word, go back, and if you need to go over it, you're more than welcome. But I sense that, you know, we need to see what he went through. That kind of gives you the understanding that you're not alone. Jesus went through some incredible tests, a lot of rejection, and a lot of pain. Not just at the cross, on his way to the cross, before the cross, and in his own home. And that, for me, was a comfort for a long time, because I didn't understand why the persecution, because I thought, my God, why can't they think? Why can't they see? I'm trying to help people. I was doing what they didn't want me to do because I was taking it away from them. I didn't understand their selfishness at the time. All I felt was the rejection. Mm-hmm. You're shaking your head, Peggy.
Yeah.
Why?
Well, because I experienced that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyone else feel that way? Mm-hmm. When you say, I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that for the Lord, and there's pressure? Mm-hmm. Think about the future. Talk to the Lord about it. Ask the Holy Spirit to give you confidence and to give you the grace that you need to go forward and be obedient. Okay? Any additions?
Just a question. Was she going to have the messages on her website?
She has them on her... They're building the website.
I think she said like podcasts.
Yeah, there's podcasts and there's some on.
Where would they go to be? Where would we find them from her?
Well, you probably could go to her website
her
and see what